Blog Talk Radio.
The Blog Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born Talent Events. Our motto is standing firm on the promises of God. I want to thank everybody for tuning back in. I know it's been since May since I had my last broadcast, but some unforeseen things came up, and I had to do what I had to do. But tonight we're talking about mastering the game, and whatever that game may be in your life. It may be a situation, it may be a personal issue, it may be some goals, it may be some dreams. So whatever that means to you, but mastering something is becoming an expert at it. It's becoming better at it. You are well-versed in it. You are an expert, and you know certain things about whatever it is that you are doing on whatever it is that is placed in front of you. And so that's what we're talking about. We have a special guest coming on tonight on our second half. And we also have a wonderful guest who's a friend of mine who is calling in for the first half of the broadcast. So this is Talk to Me. We have had over 10,000 in listeners and 275 plus and people that I've interviewed. This is our eighth season, and I've done about 155 episodes, and that's just with the ones that I have kept up here and had published and haven't deleted, because sometimes you got to do that too. But some of the people who have graced us in the past several months has been Capone, Gerald Kelly, Stacey Ladislaw Jackson, Doobie Powell, Keisha Rainey, Glenn Jones, and it's just been a true learning experience and a blessing, and I'm learning to master this game of broadcast, and especially online broadcast when some are still working in the studio, which I've done as well on 88.5. I'm trying to master this game right here. And so we never stop growing and we never stop learning. We are continual evolving in what we do and trying to do it in the best of our ability. And that's what I try to do. People have no idea what goes on behind the scenes, as with anything in entertainment, don't know the sacrifices and the things that have to be done. And I just thank God that I'm able to be here and share in these in this particular broadcast with you, and share with you these guests that are coming on. And so I do appreciate that. Tell a friend, go get a soda, go get a popsicle, do what you need to do, but tell somebody to tune in and listen. And if they can't do it before 7:30, pass the link on www.blogtalkradio.com/talk2 CHERI for Cherie, and tell them to tune in. And so I do look forward, but you know, as always, I must get into scripture base. We're talking about excellence. We're talking about being well-versed and growing in what it is that we are doing, and committing ourselves. And that's how you become better at what you do. That's how you operate in the spirit of excellence, not to say that everything will be perfect, because it won't. I've had so many bloopers on this show, I can't even begin to explain how many. Even the first show, my younger cousin had an epileptic fit 10 minutes before the broadcast was over, right there in the house. You know, so, I mean, it's been a trial. Also it has been enlightening experience as well. I'm going to go to Titus 2:7. It says, show yourself in all aspects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity and dignity. And then that continues. So how do we show that? How do we show integrity and dignity? Being proud of what you do. This doesn't mean being conceited, but it means taking some pride in how you operate and how you do things, and having integrity, doing something, you know, that even though nobody's looking or may see you, you're doing it well. You want to have that spirit of excellence. I'm a perfectionist. So sometimes I can go a little bit overboard, because I got to make sure every detail is right. And if I see a flaw, I got to fix it, or it's going to bother me all night long. And that's the type of person that I am, and I don't really care to be that way. I know I have lightened up over the years as I've gotten older, because there's some things that you just can't control. But at the same token, I try to operate Diamonds in the Rough, and also this radio show, in the best of my ability. And that's what it's all about. 2 Corinthians 8:7. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, in all your love, see that you excel in this act of grace, okay? So there may not be somebody that you know in your circle that maybe can do what you do or do it as good as you, but we have to show grace in certain areas, because we are not robots. Everybody is not going to be us. Everybody is not going to be you. And so we all have diverse, unique gifts, talents, and things that we are able to do, which is why, you know, if you're in a group of good friends, they're going to give you good advice. They're not going to see you go astray. They don't want to see harm come to you. They don't want to see you falling into a pit. They don't want to see you going through certain sufferings, and they're able to do something about it. And so they may offer you something that maybe you don't know. They may offer you some advice, some knowledge, lead you or guide you into a certain direction. And so we have to be open to hearing what everybody says. But for the most part, we got to be open to knowing what God is saying, because people can say a lot of things and they may have every good intention, but it may not be what God wants. It may make a lot of sense. I know many times that the Spirit has spoke to me to do something. It wasn't necessarily making sense at the time. And it definitely wasn't rational and it wasn't logical, but I had to move forward in it. And I thank God that I did, because if I didn't, I wouldn't be talking to you right now, because it made no logical sense for me to even begin this show. I'm glad that I listened to myself and listened to that voice, small voice, pushing me to move forward in doing this particular broadcast. I'm going to continue to read two more scriptures, and then I hope at that time, by then, my first caller called in. We're going to go to Colossians 3, 23 to 24. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. So we always got to do a reality check, just to see where we're at with things, what's going on, why things are going on, what we can do better. And I know for myself, I mean, because of all the challenges that's been extraordinary in my life, I get extraordinary blessings, but I got to go through extraordinary pain and extraordinary suffering behind the scenes at some times. And so in those instances, I have to check, you know, myself and say, you know, what is this for? Why am I doing this? You know what I mean? What is this going? What is the goal? What is the outcome? What is the mean that I'm trying to get to? And who am I doing it for? You know what I'm saying? One thing I learned is about getting over people, because people will let you down quick, and people you expect to be there for you. So this more than likely is going to be strangers that will come to your rescue, or those who God touches, because he wills people to do certain things. And you have to be willing participant in that will. And he's not going to go against anything that you don't want, you know. And I know for myself, you know, I want to stop doing certain things in my life, and I have to work at it. Because if I'm not working at it, it's not going to get no better for me. And so I have to know that everything is in the master's hands. He is in control, and he is the master of all things, heaven and earth and everything in between. So when all else fails, which it has in my life many times, I have to say, okay, God, you got to step in, because I can't do this no more. I'm strong, but I'm not that strong. And so he surprises me by letting me go through pains and trials to show me the power within that I do have, that he has graced me with. And so we have to show grace to other people as well. They may not be as bright as you. They may not be as loving as you. They may not be as caring as you. And I can say that not from a book, not from the Bible, but experience of what I have learned in this past year. And going through homelessness, living in my car for 7 months, going to a shelter, getting kicked out the shelter because I have too much education, getting my car repossessed, not having a home, not having a bed to lay my head in, and still try to be sane, still try to maintain. And I am committed to the gift, and I'm not just the gift, but the gift giver God has given to me. And he knows me. I'm his child. He knows you too if you are his child. He knows what we think before we think it, and he knows what we're going to do before we do it. And he knows why we're doing it. You may not know why, but he knows why. And so we have to go to the master to say, okay, what's up, God? You know what I'm saying? Am I following you? What's up? What are you doing? Maybe there's some character building, because he's trying to master something within you. And so maybe he's doing some character building, so he's going to allow you to go through some trials. And I know, because I've lived with alcoholics, cokeheads, drug addicts, and had to sit there and endure instead of saying, you know what, let me crack this fool in the head and put some sense into their freaking head. No, I didn't do that. I prayed. I stayed in prayer. I stayed on my knees. I did what I needed to do in the privacy of my little spot where I was at, to try to see, Lord, what do you want me to learn in this situation? And I know for a fact that more than likely it is not for me. It is for somebody else who may be wanting to commit suicide and wondering, how come I didn't do it? for somebody who wants to go back on drugs and say, well, she didn't do it. She went through all of that, but she ain't pick up, she ain't sniff no coke. She didn't do no weed. She didn't do this. She didn't drink a fifth of vodka when she could have. She could have cracked somebody over the head with a Hennessy bottle, but she didn't do it. What is it? So God will bring certain things, especially when you have a mandate on your life, and we have to get in his presence to find out, what is you trying to master in me, God? So I'm going to stop right there. I'm not going to get into the other scripture, but I do want to take a very quick break for about 30 seconds. Caller has called in, and I do want to talk to her. But the announcement, Star is Born 9, is postponed. I cannot honestly say that I can give an event and don't know where I'm going to live. I cannot not honestly say that I'm not going to stop, you know, helping people when I possibly can and praying. But this is postponed. I'm not getting in the donations or the help that I need. I cannot continue to do this ministry without the help of others. So that is postponed until further notice. If you would like to support me and get my books, you can go to the website up there. All the information is there. The latest book is Jesus Had No Home, Neither Did I. Also, you can book me or you can contract me. You can go to my website. You can contract Diamonds in the Rough. I have a business called Divine Feet. If you need your feet done and you're like, Lord, I can't look at these crusty feet no more, you want somebody to pray with you, pray over your feet, here I am. So go to my website, which is up there, and I'm going to take a very quick break. Right there, you just tuned in to Talk to Me Radio. This hosted by Cherie Humphrey. That was Leandria Johnson, her song Jesus, which is beautiful. I love her and I support her. Everybody got issues, and I gotta say that. She made a comment that was based on her experience. You may not have had the same experience, but that was hers. And I can so relate to her because I've gone through some of the same things that she's dealt with. So I totally understand why she said it. And some people don't, they may be mad, but you need to talk to people to find out what's going on and what's the deep cause of certain things that's coming out and manifesting. Pray for her because she's blessing a lot of people and she's been through hell and high water. So pray for her. Don't put her down. Pray for her. Now I'm going to plug in my first caller. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Oh, hi.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, girl. God is good anyway. I'm just trying to, you know, do what I'm called to do.
All right, then. You do it very well.
Thank you, sweetheart. Everybody, this is Kimberly Mathis. Tell everybody where you're from and what it is that you do.
Well, as you said, this is Kimberly Mathis. I do comedy shows. People would know me for different venues in Connecticut that I've been a part for comedy shows. Currently, I'm doing a Freedom Festival with my brother, DJ Cool Keith, that we do in Bridgeport. Actually, our next one, if I can get a plug in here, is We have to reschedule. It's July 29th from 12 to 8, and it's free to the community. So I'm all about trying to make people happy and give back to the community.
Yes, yes. And I met you 2 years ago, and I went out. It was the summertime. I was going through, and I went to a birthday party, and we met at that birthday party, and me and you just instantly connected. And you're such a loving person, and you've never switched up on me in these 2 years that I've known you. You have always stayed the same, and I appreciate that.
Thank you. That's that heavy. That's that medication the doctor gave me. No, sir. I'm just kidding. No.
Okay.
I'm pretty high, strong. Go. I'm the same. I don't care if anybody really, really knows me. I'm the same with people always, good or bad.
Right.
You know, you're a blessing. We vibed right off the beginning. I was amazed by the things that you've told me in your life. And, you know, sometimes we need that to hear from other people, not to damage them, but to uplift them and to,
right,
you know, let them know you may share something with them, you know. And that's what I found with you, that you were very honest about things. And, you know, it brought us close together that, you know, things that we had to discuss,
yeah,
with some things that we had in common.
Right, absolutely. And we had a lot in common, and you know, and so it's like being transparent, and you know, you saved the day at my last event, because everybody would have been sitting there starving like hostages. You and Rona.
Girl,
yes.
I said, I whipped that stuff. I said, do what? I said, she must don't know. I said, okay, but God gave me the strength. I put it together, and everybody enjoyed it. I said, listen, I am not the gourmet chef here, but my girl needed me. I'm here.
Yes, yes, and I thank you so much. But, yeah, you got the Freedom Festival coming up. I went last year. It was very, very good. It was awesome. I enjoyed myself. I stayed out there like I was a part of the crew. Remember, I stayed out there and cleaning up.
Girl, listen, you are,
you know,
part of the crew. Like, that's one that I look forward to that every year, the people that I see come, the people, the return people, the new people. You know, my overall, like a lot of people, this year you're going to see something a little different that I normally don't do. And I'm not going to tell you, and don't try to call
okay.
me afterwards.
All right.
But I'm pretty much the behind-the-scenes person. So when I see everybody in their glory and people having fun and dancing and you know, kids are having fun and the bouncers or face painting or the health screening, all the stuff, the different things that we have out there is free, except for the food people. And you got to pay for the food.
Right.
And the vendors
right.
to buy some. But we pretty much 70% of our event is free and educational to bring stuff to people. And that's what I like to do. And I always like to be behind the scenes thing because I don't need all of that glory. I just like to know
right.
that I'm a part of it to make somebody happy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're easy on the eyes as well. She's a beautiful woman inside and out.
Girl, all of Valet.
Okay. And,
well, I
so what do you think? Good.
No, I was just saying, I appreciate that. You know, I just celebrated my 50th, so, you know, girl, you need all the compliments you can give.
You ain't 50. Stop lying.
Girl, listen. I tell you what.
Ain't no way.
When
ain't
I'm rubbing,
no way.
When I'm rubbing the knees in the morning.
Okay.
Oh, but life is good. I ain't complaining.
Yes, yes. And you look marvelous for 50 years old. God is able,
well,
for
you.
Real. Oh, my God. But anyway, sweetheart, tell us what you think about mastering the game. What does that mean to you?
Mastering the game, and I thought about this. Let's see. Mastering the game to me, of course, it means mastering something that you're good at or whatever.
Yes.
I think for me, I have mastered the game being me, to finally being okay with me. It may sound crazy. Maybe to somebody else they could adapt, but I've mastered being me and being okay with me, loving me,
right.
Being able
right.
to give that back to people, to master being happy with myself, because there's a lot of people walking on this earth that's just not happy with themselves
for
whatever
reason
or whatever. So I feel I have mastered being okay with me, that it shines. Like you said earlier, you know, I'm always happy, go, whatever, whatever. And I think that has, for me to be okay with myself, has given me to be able to shine to people that I can give something back to them. So I say this because I have a story. One time, this girl in church, she didn't know her worth. She thought things were really bad in her life. She used to sit in the back of the church. One day I went and I got her. I said, come with me in the front of the church. And we prayed. After we finished praising, we sat down and we talked. And she goes, you know, you're such a pretty lady, like all the outer that you see of someone. And long story short, I told her, I said, I was you. And she was like, what? No, yes, I was you. The things or whatever that you were going through or that you've gone through or that you feel through or whatever, I said, I guarantee you. I said, 10 of those things I can tell you. Long story short, talked to the girl, got her through, told her some stories about myself and things or whatever. I got an email from that girl 4 years ago. She's an RN now in Atlanta.
Wow.
This girl was homeless.
Look at that.
This girl used to smoke weed. This girl, everything that you could think of something bad, what people think you're bad and just want to cross you off in life, I made her feel better about herself. Like, you're not in the world by yourself. Don't let anybody else tell you anything different, like they don't have a past, because we all got a past.
Thank you.
So, with this being said, I feel I mastered it because I'm okay with it. Because it was a time before I wouldn't open my mouth about stuff in my past.
Right.
And now I'm okay with it. Because it helps somebody else. So I figure I master being me, that I'm okay being Kim.
And so do you believe that in helping someone else open up, you know, throughout that time of learning to master you, do you think that that was one of the reasons that helped you to be okay with it and get free in who you are?
Yeah, I think, yes. I think, you know, us in society, we're so quick to turn our noses down to people. And, you know, this conversation could go so left. But I feel if you see something in someone, you should cherish, you should give them, if you can adapt to them, because there's nothing better than being able to adapt to somebody that's been through something. If you've never been through nothing, then you're not going to know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
You're not going to hit anywhere. So I'm not saying go out there and tell everybody your deep, dark secrets, because some people can use that to you to a different advantage. But if you really feel that someone is genuine and they need to hear a part of your life, do it. Talk to them.
Right.
Because I didn't have that. I wish I had somebody to talk to. My life, I had to figure out a lot of stuff. So that's why I say as a grown woman now, I have mastered it. I'm still learning.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I'm still accepting, I'm still receiving, but I have mastered on being humble and being appreciative where I'm at, being okay with talking to people, being okay to expressing myself, you know, just it's just me. And sometimes, you know, us as people, we try to, you know, suppress it, and God is like, no, I'm not. Look how I'm talking to you. I would have never done this a while ago to be talking or anything, but God has things that he will open up for you and do, and he'll do it. And the things that you pray on in your bedroom by yourself, on the street or whatever, he will remove those things from you.
Absolutely. And so you had to do something, though. In the course of the time and getting free, you saw that there was an issue that you needed, or a mountain you needed to conquer. And so there had to be something that you did not like and that you wanted to change in order for you to say, you know what, I need not so necessarily to master this, but I need to conquer this. I need to overcome this. And I need to be victorious in this particular area, however you want to word it. And so what are some of the practical things that you did along the way? You know, you just name one, you know, that you thing that you did.
Oh, God. You mean just with myself? Like removing myself from certain situations, making my life like, I had to remove myself, one, from certain situations. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over again. I had to remove some people in my lives I had to remove some family in my life. You know, so that's a start. You have to have a conversation too with yourself and with God.
Right.
And you can't tell everybody your business. You can't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So once you, the things I had to remove were some people in my life.
Right.
People in my life I had to remove and to focus on me. Because sometimes, you know, people are put forward in front of you. They may, you may think they're your friend or whatever, and we definitely know about this conversation here. They perceive to be your friend or something, and they're totally something different. But, you know, but that's okay, too, because people like that make me stronger, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was something, obviously, you seen in me, and but I was weak. You felt I was weak, but I overcame that. So where you thought you damaged somebody sometimes with the things that you do that you know that hurt them, that their past or something they did or whatever, but when that person can stand up and look at you, you know, I remember one time the guy told me, oh, I remember back in the day you used to drink Cisco's. I remember it, too. Weren't those Cisco's good?
Okay.
But I don't anymore.
I remember it, too, okay? I remember the year.
You know? But and that's what conquers me. You know? People be so quick to judge you, and I remember, listen, I can tell you the one I like the most. That's, don't take me there.
Okay.
But, you know, it's the negative people who always want to bring up the old stuff that's in your past. That's what I have bypassed. And let go of them and keep it moving.
Yes, and that is such great advice. That really is, and that's something that if you can learn at an early age, like before you get out of high school, it will make life so much easier. You know, and I can relate. I can relate, and I definitely, because I had such bad self-esteem back in the day, and I couldn't see the beauty of anything. When people would say you're pretty, you're beautiful, you just, I just couldn't see it because I was so damaged. And so it took a long time for my self-esteem and confidence to get built back up. Well, built up. And I ain't going to say back up, built up.
I was like back
and,
up, built up. Man.
Yeah. Okay, so I can definitely understand where you're coming from. But thank you so much, girl, for calling in. I appreciate it. These were some good nuggets. If people want to take it and run with it.
All right. Well, listen, you do something with it. If you do whatever you.
Hello? You still there? You just went out, girl. We can't hear you. So I know you wanted to wrap up and give your last minute words. I appreciate you coming on. I can't hear you right now. I don't know if you pushed the mute button, but thank you so much for calling in, and I appreciate it. All right, God bless. There you have it. That was Kimberly Mathis of New Haven, Connecticut. The Freedom Festival will be at McLevy Green on July 29th in Bridgeport, which she is doing with DJ Cool Keith. You might have seen him recently on Channel 12, Our Lives Talk Show with Gwen Edwards. He just was honored at my event in February. And come out and enjoy and take some of these nuggets that, you know, Kim has shared with everyone. And I hope that you, it will better you. I'm going to go to a quick break. And I'm going to play a little bit of Will Downing, Something Special.
About you, that you never really kind of hard to believe a girl like you has never found a. What can I say, what can I do just to get closer to you? If you could feel what I feel about you, then you know that love, baby, love can be something special.
Love can be something special.
Baby, I'd like to try.
One.
it's all about you, baby. There's no way you could know I've been touching you from a distance. There's no way you could know when you hide behind your defense. You close your heart and your mind just seems to follow. I'm not your yesterday, baby, I'm your tomorrow. Baby, love can be something special. I'd like to try to be the one in your life and show you that
love can be something special.
If you don't mind, baby, can I get closer to but humble man, what else do you need? Just focus your heart on me. There's no way I'll ever let you fall, 'cause I'm here for you. Yes, I'm here for you.
There you have it. That was Something Special by Will Downing. You have tuned into Blog Talk Radio. This is Talk to Me, and I am your host, Cherie Humphrey. I have a wonderful, extraordinary guest that is about to come on. I first would like to read his bio, though. Drew Frazier. He is hysterical, charismatic, crazy, charming, and only these are only some of the words that we could use to describe him. And he's incomparable. Entertainer, Drew Frazier. I'm just going to read a little synopsis on him. I'm going to skip around a little bit if I have to, but you're going to get the gist of it because Drew has done so much from the time that I first met him working with Chocolate City News back in the day, my cousin's paper. Drew Frazier began his career in Boston, Massachusetts at the world-famous Nick's Comedy Stop. He later moved to New York City, where he found much success, beginning with his first television appearance on Showtime at the Apollo, which soon opened doors to the other TV productions like Russell Simmons' Def Comedy Jam and BET's Comic View. In 2005, Drew Frazier appeared in his own half-hour special on Comedy Central Presents, and through its overwhelming success, resulted in Drew hosting the series from 2005 to 2010. Him as an entertainer. Drew's distinctive and cleverly honed entertainment style is overwhelmingly received by live studio and television audiences. Drew has appeared on Gotham Comedy Club Live, AXS-TV, Bill Bellamy's Stand Up for Family on ABC, Amateur Night on the Apollo, at the Apollo, P. Diddy presents The Bad Boys of Comedy, Martin Lawrence presents The First Amendment Stand Up, and the Wendy Williams Comedy Experience. Drew has also performed comedy warm-ups for Tyra Banks, Jon Stewart, Colbert Nation, and the Queen Latifah Show. Drew also found success as a daytime TV correspondent for Anderson, starring Anderson Cooper, as well as showcasing live at the Borgata Hotel in Atlantic City with David Allen Greer, the Monte Carlo Hotel, and the Mirage Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. Drew continues his long run as a regular headliner at the famous Caroline's Comedy Club in New York City. Drew has received numerous awards for his outstanding comedy acts, including the New York City Funniest Male Comedian Award in 1996. Placing third in the Urban Comedy Award in 1999 and winning the grand prize for the Nephew Tommy Steve Harvey Morning Show Comics Deep Comedy Competition in 2010. Drew's vibrant performances have been enthusiastically received by audiences across North America and internationally in such places as England, Holland, Australia, Bermuda, whether on screen or at an event, in a comedy club or showcase, Drew Frazier has the natural talent and ability to captivate audiences of any group, regardless of race, gender, or age. This makes him one of the most respected and sought-after entertainers in the industry. just some of the TV shows that he's done, as I mentioned, was Anderson, Comic View, Bill Bellamy, Byron Cage, Allen Show, I Want to Work for P. Diddy 2, MTV Girl Code, Russell Simmons, Def Comedy Jam, Showtime at the Apollo, Walter Latham's Comedy After Dark, and he's done so much more. And I commend him for walking in a commitment to excellence in the game that he is being an expert at, and so working so well in, and has done some great leaps and bounds from 2005 when I met him, and it's just a blessing. I'm going to plug him in right now. Hello.
Wow, thank you so very much. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm absolutely fantastic. Now, let me see. Did you get that bio from my mother? Jesus. Those were a lot of fantastic accolades. I'm like, my mother must have wrote that.
Okay. I said, sure.
Oh,
now.
Man.
I bet she...
I am very, very honored to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome, and thank you. And, you know, just basically I wanted to ask you, you know, because you've done so much accomplishments over this past decade, what is mastering the game to you? What does that mean to you?
Staying relevant. Staying relevant.
Okay.
That's all. It's just staying relevant, keeping yourself out there. Grinding and adapting to the different changes, different environments, different climate as far as entertainment goes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so how have you done that? I mean, you know, I know one thing leads to another, you know, and opens up doors, but you were living in Boston and you started with the Knicks comedy stop to where you are right now.
Right.
What kept
you
going?
Well, it's just to me staying relevant, just adapting with the changes. You're going from just emails and text messages. Then you're going to social media. You're doing different venues in different countries and different states, but you're still staying relevant. As you know, your audience is always going to get older, but you want to stay current. That's the most important thing,
absolutely.
To stay current, so that as the new audience changes, they change with you and they adapt with you and they follow you and they stay with you. That's very, very important.
And so from that, you know, first beginning stages, you know, you're a new comic coming out. Were you doing comedy like in your family, for your friends and things of that nature?
Oh yeah. I mean, your friends and your peers are always the ones going to tell you, oh my God, you know, are you funny? And then you just take it from there. You just have to find a way to, be able to make your friends laugh, to be able to make strangers laugh.
Absolutely.
It's easy to make your friends
laugh.
It's easy to make your family members laugh. It's a little bit difficult to make strangers laugh. So you just have to find a correlation where you're able to make strangers laugh, people that you've never seen in your life, people that don't know you from Adam, and then you can go up there and entertain them. Then you've made it. You found the blessing. You found the calling.
Yes, absolutely. And how was that for you? I mean, I know they say that if you don't get butterflies or you don't feel a little bit of, you know, nervous when you're out on that stage, as I know from doing spoken word and singing with the McDonald's choir, et cetera, you know that it's something's wrong. So what do you think about that?
Not,
do you still get that butterflies?
The only time I'm really ever nervous is television. The reason being, television is permanent. Television is permanent. So whatever
absolutely.
Goes right or whatever goes wrong, it will be there forever. When you're doing just stages, it doesn't really matter. Because you can have the worst show of your life. The only people that's gonna know about it is the people that were there and you. That's it. You can always go tell people about the different apps. Oh, I killed him up there. So you know, you never wanna be nervous, you just wanna go out there and be yourself. And then just find a way where yourself just works consistently. That's all.
And so, because I love comedy, and I think I missed my calling because I'm like the jokester in the family, always been, and in the classroom, you know, and I think that's something I would have pursued, but I have done a little bit of it with my grandmother act. But at the same time, everybody has a different style. So what style would you say that you have? Because some people, like, what's the her name? She hold a purse, and she just get up there and she talk junk. I forget her
Cheryl
name.
Underwood.
She's on, Cheryl Underwood.
Cheryl Underwood.
And then,
then you got
Eddie Murphy who does characters, and then you got you got people who tell stories. How did you know what your niche was?
I like to consider myself an observational comedian.
Okay.
Observational, where you close your eyes. You don't have to see me. You can close your eyes and just listen to me, and everything I'm saying you'll be able to relate to. Because you've either done it, seen it, or read it.
Okay. All right. Got you. That's good. That's good. So how does it feel for you, you know, and because you stay committed. You didn't just say, I'm going to do comedy for a year, and then it fell to the side. You stayed committed. What do you think to somebody that's listening right now that's trying to come up in you know, in comedy, or any other, you know, field, what would you say that makes you commit? What is that?
What makes me commit is the fact that I love it, the fact that if I didn't have bills to pay, I would do it for free.
There it is
what I said. If I didn't have a mortgage, car, no kids in school, I'd do this for free. It's for the love of it. But the fact that I got bills to pay, hey, now you got to pay me.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
But once you find something or anything in life that you love, you just have to figure out a way to do it where you can make an income out of it. But you have to love it.
Right.
Like I said, I'd do this for free if I didn't have bills to pay.
Well, you know what? You know what, Drew? Put a plug in for me because I've been doing this 8 years and I must love it because people would have no idea what I had to do just these past 2 days to make sure I don't cancel this show. And I've only gotten paid 4 times in 8 years from doing this.
Because you do it for the love of it. You do it for the love of it. That's right. You do it for the love.
Absolutely. And so anyway, you know, you've been to several countries, and I know that must have been exciting for you. Were you received in the same manner or light as over here, being home, or was it better for you, or was it worse for you?
I received it well. Received very, very well overseas. Because, like I said, my comedy is international. Because, like I said, it's observational comedy. So it's something where you can just close your eyes, no matter where you're from, what race, creed, color, or age, it's happened to you, or you've seen it happen, or you've read about it, and that's what makes it funny. They say the most funniest things are something that you can relate to, something that's real, and that's how I've tried to chrome my craft in over the last 23 years is doing something that's relatable and real.
And so what about the language barrier? I mean, what do they do for certain places that you've been that don't speak English? How do you communicate those jokes to them?
I don't. They got to figure out how to figure it out themselves. I can't speak German, so hey, it's up to you. Either you learn English or you bring an interpreter. But I can't speak German. But that ain't what happened.
All right.
So if you don't speak English, I suggest you stay home.
Oh, Lord. But so tell me, you know, in starting out, what was the worst experience that you had in comedy, as a new comic, what stands out the most to you?
The worst experience? I can't really say I've had a bad experience. You have bad shows, but that's all about learning. That's a learning process.
Right.
If anything you do where you're not learning from it, you're not growing. You know, you have to go down the wrong way, drive down the wrong street to know, okay, don't go down that street again. If every street you go is the right street, then you're not really learning. It's like you're just going in the right direction. But you have to go the wrong way to figure out, oh, I shouldn't have went that way. So everything is a learning process. So whether it be good or
right.
be bad, you can't really say, oh, I had a bad night. Okay, now you learned something. You learned something that night.
Right.
The only time I could say something is bad is when I did something and I was supposed to get something for it and I didn't. I'm not going to mention what that was, but, you know.
Okay.
To me, that's a bad show.
Okay, got you. I'm going to tell you what mine was. I was with Family Room Records in Brooklyn doing spoken word. They sent me to the New Eurekan, and they had the judges were all drag queens. Okay.
Okay.
The stage was so small and so tiny, at the time I was much smaller. I did like a slave comedy act with my shoes off. I spun around, hit the microphone, and it almost bust one of the drag queens in the head. That was mine.
See, that's when you should have been doing stand up. Now that'd have been funny as hell. Turn that into a comedy skit.
And it was just so silent in the place. But yeah, so what was one of your best experiences that you have had? I mean, the best thing that you've done.
One of my best experiences I had was, I would have to say, my Comedy Central taping. I had an incredible, incredible time on stage. The audience was absolutely overwhelmingly receptive, and everything just went lovely. And when it came on television, I was very, very proud of the result. So I have to say that one right there.
Okay, great. And we're running out of time. Is there anything that you would say that's a little bit funny? I know you can't do a whole sketch, but just
this is what I want to say that's funny. Saturday, August 3rd, Foxwoods Casino and Resort in Connecticut. That's where you want to be to hear the funny. Showtime, 8 p.m. So if anybody is in the Connecticut, Massachusetts, New York City area, Bronx, you want to get behind on down to Foxwoods Casino and Resort, Saturday, August 4th, 8 p.m. for the show. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Two kings and a cream. Myself, Drew Fraser, talented comedian, and Coco Brown from the Tyler Perry movie. It's going to be fantastic.
Oh, wow, yes. And I do have the flyer up in case anybody forgets and they need to see a visual because, you know, some people, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So you need a visual.
I understand.
Yes. But thank you so, so much for coming on. And I just ask you to do one thing for me, Dro.
Yes.
Pass this link on. Pass
I most
this
certainly
link
shall.
On.
You better
thank
believe
you
it.
So much. Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful night, and I appreciate you having me.
Okay.
All right, take care.
All right, then. All right, God bless. Bye-bye. There you have it. That was comedian Drew Fraser. He will be with Talent and Coco Brown, and he will be with them at Foxwoods Casino Saturday, August 4th. The flyer is up there. So you have two dates to remember, the Freedom Festival in Bridgeport at McLevy Green on July 29th. Also, you have this date where you need to get your tickets so that you can see Drew, Talent, and Coco Brown. Keep abreast, and his information is online if you need to connect with him. I want to thank everybody for tuning back in again to Talk to Me Radio. I am Minister Cherie Humphrey. Pass this information along. Send it to your friends. If God leads you and you would like to make a donation to this ministry or to myself, please do it. All the information is up there. My website, you can go there to the Diamonds in the Rough website. There's much to be looked at on each of those pages. See some of the work that I have done and some of the events that I have produced. It's about 24 events in the last, I would say, 9 years alone. So A Sister Needs Help. So if you find it in your heart, please do that. Also, please watch out for the next show broadcast that I will be posting and I will be putting that information up on Facebook and the other social media networks. Thank you so much for tuning in to Talk to Me. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you.